Rarely in history have so many Jews recognized Jesus as the Messiah as they did at the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century, following the 1948 independence of the nation of that land that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
This is Mission 66. I'm Rob Dempsey. Mission 66 originates from the ministry of Bible teacher and pastor Dr. Luis Seau and is produced and heard in multiple languages around the world in partnership with Transworld Radio. I want to encourage you to take advantage of a valuable resource. You can enhance your understanding of the Gospels by downloading our free study guide. This guide will deepen your experience with God's Word and complement our daily teachings from John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To access your free study guide of the Gospels, simply visit mission66.org. Pick up this valuable resource and also support the ministry of Mission 66. Your gift helps sustain this program locally and globally. John Matthews is our teacher. His co-host, Esther Sisulu, gets us started today.
We are studying the letter of Romans written by the Apostle Paul, and today we'll be looking at chapters 10 and 11. Now, we read in the Bible how Paul devoted so much of his time and energy to spreading the gospel to the Gentile world, but he had a special place in his heart for his own people, the Jews. Well, our teacher, John Matthews, will present our theme, The Mystery of Israel.
So good to be with you, Esther, and with each one of you, our listeners, for this latest episode of Mission 66, where we have previously seen chapter 9 of Romans talking about the sovereignty of God and the wisdom of God and discussed what happened and what would have happened and what will happen to the people of Israel. And the question being asked by the Jews of the Roman Christian community was, what will happen to Israel? What will its future be like? Well, the Apostle Paul shares his heart for his people, and we see this in verse 1 as he writes, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, that is the Israelites, is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everybody who believes." Just remember, the Apostle Paul had himself been a Jewish leader who'd studied under Gamaliel, who was one of the top experts of his day, about the law of Moses. He'd risen, hadn't he, to one of the top positions in the Sanhedrin, and he knew Judaism forwards and backwards. He also used to be one of the chief persecutors of Christians before Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And I only mention that here just to reemphasize that Paul was well qualified to speak about what was his heritage. And he goes on in verse 5 to say, "For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them." What Paul is stressing, however, is that only the one who keeps the law perfectly will live. Well, as we know, nobody's ever managed that except Jesus. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven," that is, to bring Christ down, "or who will descend into the abyss," that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And there is one of the best verses in the Bible that explains how to be saved. Paul goes on, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's wonderful, isn't it? And when Paul is saying there's no distinction, he's saying there's no difference between how a Jewish person gets saved and how someone who's not a Jew, here described as a Gentile, get saved. Both must call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and believe in the resurrection from the dead. And so Paul continues, and we ought to catch his missionary vision here. How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry, referring there to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And folks, I'm that foolish nation. I was a foolish Gentile living carelessly in my sin who happened to hear about the Jewish Messiah being born, dying on the cross for sinners and rising again. And when I, like many others, applied that truth to my own life, I was saved. I can't answer for others, but I can only tell you that once I was a fool, lost in sin, and now, gladly, I'm a fool for Christ. Now, gentle listener, I must ask, whose fool are you? Verse 20 says, Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Again, this is Paul, the former Jewish expert, speaking from his own experience, speaking about people that he knew and people that he loved. And he's being hard on his own people because they needed to know where they stood with God. But when he gets now to Romans chapter 11, we find out that there is going to be this remnant of Jews who will fulfill God's purposes. And it's really good news if they will receive it. Romans 11, starting in verse 1. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. What is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant, says Paul, chosen by grace. Paul here talking about the prophet Elijah, who preached during the reign of King Ahab and his wicked wife and queen Jezebel, who had led Israel into serious Baal worship. And Elijah was there fearing for his life, crying out to God, saying, like, I'm the only one left who's faithful to you, Lord. But God reminds him that even though things looked really, really bleak, there was a remnant. And Paul says, so it is today, that there will be a remnant saved according to God's grace. Verse 6. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, and this is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 29, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see, ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David said in Psalm 69, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and bend their backs forever. So it is true that the nation of Israel generally rejected Jesus as their Messiah. But that doesn't mean that God has rejected his people. In fact, there are many Israelite Jews who believe in Christ and follow the word of God and can testify to the truth of this very statement. And the Apostle Paul himself was one of those. And on he goes in verse 11 to say, so I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes during our question time with Esther. What does it mean to make Israel jealous? Well, Paul goes on in verse 12 to say, now if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? He's now making the case that Jews can be saved even easier than the Gentiles can, not because they are better than us, but because it was to them the promise was given, and it was to them that the Messiah was first sent. And it's been my experience that when you meet a Jewish believer in Jesus, there is no mistaking it. They really, really understand. And also, there's the inference of what benefit the world would have from that, in Paul's word, full inclusion. Verse 13, now I'm speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And Paul, using this example here relating to horticulture, which many of the Jewish olive growers would have understood straight away, they knew how to graft branches into a tree so that the new branch, which may have been broken off another tree, can be surgically inserted into the good tree and so flourish because it has that life-giving sap flowing into it. And look at what he says in verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Remember, Paul is talking here, and it's not always easy to understand, but he's talking to Gentile believers here, warning them not to think more highly of themselves than they should, and not to despise Jews either. No place you see for arrogance in the church. And then verse 22, Paul goes on to say, note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. And here's where we get our theme for today's episode of Mission 66, which is the mystery of Israel. So he says, let me repeat that. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob, and this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has been given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.
This is Mission 66, our daily Bible study, and today we're taking Romans chapters 10 and 11, which talk about how God is preserving a remnant of Jews who will be saved, and it means the Jews ethically and the Gentiles, those who have come to embrace Jesus as the Christ. Now, John, what do you think Paul means here when he says, all Israel shall be saved?
Well, it says, doesn't it, Esther, that Israel has experienced this hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in, and in this way all Israel will be saved. Well, the plan of God was for the Jewish nation to receive Christ as their Messiah and spread the word to the whole world that the kingdom had indeed come. And when the Jewish nation generally rejected Jesus as the Messiah, well, they sort of hardened their hearts against him, and so God then sends the invitation out to the Gentile nations to come and receive the salvation that Christ has made available. But not all Jews have rejected Jesus. In fact, did you know that never or rarely in history have so many Jews recognized Jesus as Messiah as happened at the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century, and that all follows some years after that historic event in 1948, which was independence of the Israel nation, this land that was given in Old Testament times to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
All right. So then when does this reconciliation of all of Israel take place?
Well, it says, doesn't it, in that chapter that that will happen when the full number of the Gentiles has come in. So God himself and he alone knows when that is. Now, looking back at it, we can see that God, who knows everything from the beginning, arranged it this way so that no matter what happened, a large number of Gentiles would come and be saved. And he knows ahead of time exactly how many of them or of us, let's say that, of us will believe. You know, this is Gentiles can be read here as anybody who are not of the Jewish faith. And he also knows that when that full number has been reached, then the Jews, it says, will recognize their Messiah and will join that great throng of happy believers. Now, this doesn't mean that every single person who called themselves a Jew will necessarily be a participant in that. But, you know, not everybody who says they're a Christian is saved either. You know, there are many Christians in name only who never repented truly of their sins or believed in Jesus as their personal saviour. And so it is.
Wow, this is so interesting. Now, I know we've touched upon this next point a little earlier on in our reading, John, but what exactly does it mean then that the Gentiles would make Israel jealous?
Well, this is the way that God is prodding his people back to himself. You know, the people of the covenant, the chosen people, as they considered themselves, became proud, didn't they? And they rejected Jesus as their Messiah, whilst a large group of people who were considered at the time to be unclean embraced him. They accepted Jesus. Jesus was found by those who didn't seek him. While God's chosen people were disobedient and rebellious, generally speaking, according to Paul, you know, it's as if they've given up their place so that the pagan Gentiles, as they were described in Jesus' time, could come into this beautiful relationship with the God of Israel. And this is similar to how Esau despised his birthright, sold it to Jacob, and thereafter always regretted it. It's like a dad who comes home from a long trip and brings a special present to his son or daughter, and that son or daughter rejects that present, thinks it's stupid, throws it out in the trash. But then, let's say, a neighbour sees that toy in the trash and takes it home and cherishes it. And the first child who was the recipient of the original gift is now envious when they see another child enjoying the present that they should have accepted, but rejected.
Yeah, what a great analogy. And I suppose if they're willing to share, they could both enjoy the same gift.
Yes, Esther, you've answered your own question. You're quite right. And, you know, that is actually, in truth, the whole point of this episode today, because the reality is everybody gets to enjoy the beauty of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not just something we enjoy like a toy that lasts now and is gone tomorrow or next month or next year. This is an eternal gift. You know, whether you're Jew or Gentile, in to use the Bible's expression, or wherever you're from, whatever culture, whatever background, whatever ethnicity, whomever you are, take him, learn from him, find in him your all in all.
Wow. Thank you so much, John. You know, after all that we've learned, I think a summary is in order. So how shall we summarize chapters 10 and 11 of the book of Romans?
Well, today we've looked at the mystery of Israel and we've attempted to discover what Paul meant when he said, "All Israel shall be saved." Now, that cannot be meant to include all of the people of Israel, because some of them simply didn't believe, and it cannot exclude the Gentiles because many of them did. The point is that it is possible to believe in God and yet not believe in Jesus Christ. But salvation, justification, the righteousness of God, being made right with God, is available to us only through Jesus. And God requires that from every single person Jew and Gentile alike, and the invitation is, come, experience the amazing peace and salvation and forgiveness that Jesus and Jesus alone can give you. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and you will find him. He will give you the rest that your soul longs for.
Well, that concludes our study through the book of Romans here on Mission 66. But I hope that you will join us next time, same place, as we continue through this incredible adventure. So until then, dear friend, goodbye and God bless you.
That wraps up today's episode of Mission 66 with John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. Follow their daily teaching by downloading your free study guide at mission66.org. Go deeper into God's Word and discover how each day's teaching can apply to your life. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Download your free study guide at mission66.org and have it for our next program. That's also where you can leave a comment or make a donation to continue Mission 66 here and around the world. That's mission66.org. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau. I'm Rob Dempsey.